Greetings, Dungeon Delvers, and welcome to yet another exciting edition of Shoulda Had a D8, where we invite friends, fans, family, and cast members to join us as we discuss the prior episodes of Descent into the Void and The Natural Ones. Joining us today, we have two members of the Liberators from Descent into the Void. We have Zeki, who plays Cal.
Hey, everybody, it's Zektown.
And Travis, who plays King.
Hello.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. So, last time we had quite the dramatic event and battle that transpired as you all had experienced the gala. Starting there, it seemed to be things were going awry with no one able to find where King Terminus was, and turned out that he was actually transformed into a beautiful human woman with a Genasi bodyguard at her side going around and asking people, specifically at this point, the Liberators, questions on what they thought of King Terminus. And afterwards, a prank was pulled and people started to, like, out of a scene from Phantom of the Opera, they all started burping and spitting up frogs, or Willy Wonka scene when they all started floating up and down with mayhem and chaos into Judean stepped in, dispelling all the magic and revealing that the woman was indeed King Terminus himself, a very large, burly man who had quite the appetite for humor. And then you all had introduced yourselves, walked back into his chamber, and explained everything to him that had transpired, leaving out some little details here and there. And then afterwards, he went to head off as a messenger had came in and said that the enemies, the undead, were afoot, and leaving you alone in the chamber with none other than Deja Vu themselves, and then battled the creatures, fought the undead, and made your way out to the town to go ahead, after teleporting into the Dust District, meeting up with Sariel. You went off and battled and defended the town from the undead. So, my first question goes towards either one of you. Just thoughts on the gala and meeting King Terminus.
I personally did not expect the outcome of, like, what actually happened. I figured that I totally was taking it into the Arcanum is the worst, like, timeline, where they had actually, like, captured him and, like, kidnapped him and, like, hid him away, or, like, they have their own imposter or something like that. I was not expecting the more lighthearted and chaotic jokes of King Terminus himself. Which was pleasant.
I would have to agree with Zeki. I didn't expect him to be a lighthearted, jovial, funny guy. I thought that something more sinister was at foot, and ultimately there was, but not in that moment.
Yeah, so during your entire time when you guys were theorizing and saying, oh, he's going to be this, he's going to be the king from Black Clover or so on and so forth, I was just like, you guys might either be pleasantly surprised or disappointed in the fact that he's just a normal kooky guy who's going to be there and just play pranks. I had that plan from the very beginning. That's kind of like what Queen Camilla sees in him. Some meta knowledge there.
Interesting. Let me eat up this lore.
This tiny bit of this meta lore. Nonetheless, you did meet him, and we saw a strange interaction, or the dichotomy between the king and Judean Sunfell, the archmage of the Corpora Arcana of Duskhaven, with him kind of reeling him in was Judean. And after a strange interaction with King and Judean and King Terminus, talking about saying who wears the pants in this relationship of royalty, we got more into really how their relationship works. So my next question goes specifically towards Travis. We saw the relationship between the King Terminus and Judean Sunfell, kind of this weird, you would think King Terminus would be more authoritative, but Judean seemed to step in, which shook up things with King as he stepped in as a third party of royalty. So what was going through King's mind during this interaction with Judean and the King?
Yeah, so once King Terminus sort of revealed his true intentions and that he was just sort of like a goofball, but generally cared, because at that point we learned more about, you know, how he really feels about Camilla and that he really loves her. And, you know, I was like, and then Judane Sunfeld literally came out of the darkness and was like, no, you can't leave. And like, you certainly will not just leave and do XYZ. And like literally skulked, you know, skulked in from the fucking shadows. And I was like, who do you think you are, bitch? Like, he's the king. Like, and I know, like, 100% I play off of, it's me playing off of the fact that King, his nickname is King, so I was like, from one king to another. It was like, was meant to be more of like a, you know, maybe it's a joke, maybe it's not, but like, from one king to another king, like, who in, you're supposed to be the king who rules, you know, who rules it. Because in that moment I was the figurehead for our group. I was talking mainly to him and sort of like leading. I mean, that's how I felt or thought. And I have a, you know, and I have a fucking 22 in charisma. Like, I should be the one talking. You know what I mean? Like,
the rest of the cast had the most epic eye roll.
Like, I think that you guys thought I meant it seriously, but I meant it, I was trying to, like, mean it sort, you know, not so much a joke, but sort of like a, you know, let me use King to King. And I couldn't think, Travis couldn't think of anything funnier than that. So that was my way of sort of like, you know.
No, I totally dig it. I feel like that's King's charm. King's charm is Travis's true charm.
Yeah.
Which went over well with King Terminus, as you obviously convinced him to let you in on everything, and he headed off. But
yeah, I believe I've rolled a natural 19, which put me at a 30.
So many 30s and high numbers. This is the session of high rolls on your guys' part and counterspells. We'll get more later. But after learning from a guard, a Unity Knight, supposedly Unity Knight, that the undead had finally made their way, you discover that those Unity Knights that fought there failed. As the undead had snuck their way in there, or maybe have not failed, because there was definitely no alarm that was raising, they're coming from the shore. They were just like, they're at the walls! How the hell are they at the walls?
So they were just overrun, is what I assumed.
I don't know. I had also sensed that there were undead in the city, so maybe they were, like, planted near the walls.
You don't know.
It's like a Helm's Deep situation where the guy just runs in with the dynamite and, like, oh, now we're all magically here.
Magic. No, yes, but either way, the Grey District was overrun and attacked, making King Terminus run out to defend, even though Judane went on and said to do not leave your throne. You needed to keep up the barrier, which was some strange bit of lore that was given there, catching the eye of some of the members of the Liberators. But he went off, and then the guards revealed themselves to be an illusionary deja vu who faded away, leaving nothing but an undead king, or not king, an undead entity to attack you all. So, before I ask my question about the battle, my question, we'll start off with you, Zeki, is deja vu back again, thoughts?
I am not 1000% sure why I should not like this deja vu as much as I don't, but I don't, and they keep trying to trick me at every turn, and I do not enjoy it. They've almost killed King, and did not need to deal with that on the boat. Now they're doing this here whenever we should be either helping King Terminus or actually getting King Terminus to Queen Camilla. Just roadblocks.
Travis, same question?
I feel like we're going to just be super paranoid. I feel like we're just going to be super paranoid, like, no matter where we go from now on, if we don't, like, outright kill her and be like, no, I need to watch her soul leave her body. You know what I mean? Like, because otherwise I'm going to be like, you know, okay, we're in the new city. Now let's check every single person to make sure that she's not deja vu. Like, you know what I mean? Or like, mm-hmm. Like, do like a secret rotating code to make sure that we don't get infiltrators. Like, I feel like we're gonna have to start doing some spy shit.
And it was some definitely high level illusionary magic, as the using the, this may not be meta, but it was definitely all casters could tell, like having the illusion of the body of the skeleton that was deja vu as it fades away, revealing it to be the actual entity that formed into what your battle went on. But definitely saying the master, and we all know who Deja Vu's master is, Dorama, was trying to keep you guys away, pulling the attention of King Terminus, it seemed. And then the battle ensued. So my next question, during this hectic, crazy battle where we saw Horatio dive into a power unknown and any lasting effects that could happen to him, we're not sure yet, and then Cal downed. So my question goes to Cal... Zeki, so Cal, we saw Cal run up there and fight kind of melee combat shooting using a massive amount of divine energy, but was downed onto the ground.
Yes, I was downed.
Thoughts on the battle?
I, you know, a lot of people would have been way more stressed out and nervous about being downed, but I put a lot of faith in my party that, like, I know, like, as soon as I'm downed, the battle will shortly be over, or at least they will get me to safety, because I hope they know I would do the same for them. Like, it's like might be like my first priority, rather even like over killing the monster. Like, if I have the opportunity to kill the monster and I know it's like that weak and this is like the last round of combat and that will get us there, that's one thing. But if it's like in the middle of a battle and all of a sudden somebody gets downed, my first priority would be to switch. So I really wasn't sweating it too much, and I was mad that I didn't find a way to do more damage to just get that thing out of the picture. I was really trying to channel Cal's hatred for like the undead and like kind of bring that out as almost this frenzied conquest-like fervor in rebalancing the world from undead scourges like this. So that's kind of how I approach. That's how I approach a lot of the battles with Cal. It's like depending on like who we're fighting and how we're going to be doing that. And it just so happens we've been fighting a lot of undead things, which has been convenient for me.
Yeah, like. I definitely, this has been, and partially because plan, because I want to dig into Cal, and also because just the way the story had unfolded, but this has been like Cal's, like, we got calories, and then not only that, we've seen Cal just ditch out the damage because it's in his zone. He's like, undead creatures, I got you. And so yep. I'm loving seeing Cal's, like, spotlight development happening here, especially after that void moment. Ooh, I can't wait till that comes
yes.
to light.
Oh my goodness. That's, I think, and that's like another driving factor with that, like taking that into consideration and where he kind of sits with the party. It's like this is one thing he thinks he can control because he knows he can do this like additional damage, and like this is his zone kind of thing. So that just like, and I think I even mentioned that whenever we had started the combat, that like I'm running over there and like with almost a crazed look in my eye firing at these undead, like I'm like almost foaming at the mouth, like ready to go and be the attack dog. And that's like, you know, really pushing the paladin side of this rather than the religious spiritual oath side to Kalemvor. It's more of the paladin, like I am going to be the tank attack conduit.
Get back in the ground.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, so it's like, I definitely have been having a lot of fun playing with Cal's character in that way.
Totally. Now Cal just needs some braces of defense to raise that AC.
Yeah, I need to raise that AC.
Though,
so
now...
low.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was like, so low. Such a low AC.
Though, now we also saw during this battle, finally, what it seemed, what it was like to fight with an Archon of Peace and Power, as Horatio had sat onto the throne to, I believe it was it Cal's who shouted that out, or was it Duran who shouted out to sit on the throne?
I think it was Duran, too.
But nevertheless, he sat on the throne, and I was just waiting for someone to sit on the throne. was waiting for it. And but we got to see him just get radiate his aura, and now able to actually test that out. I do like it. Not his aura, his new spell, Horatio Kane's Miasma Protection, but she wanted miasma because it's just a cool paradox. We'll just say.
Okay.
No, Tino Shay Lewis.
I wish that he consulted the team for that. Full tea. I think it's super cool. I love the idea of it. The name miasma, I'm like, did you look up the definition of what the word miasma means? And he's like, no. And I'm like, you really should have. Like, it just... it's weird for him. It doesn't fit, I don't think. But it's still cool. Sorry, Lewis, I don't mean to shit on your spell.
For all of the listeners out there who don't know what a miasma is, miasma.
The definition of miasma is a noxious, terrible-smelling fume that's sickening and gross.
So a really bad fart.
Or he could just want it to sound that way. He wants it to be like, I think because he wanted it miasma-like, how it's icky and on you like that. But going with the whole look of miasma. You know what? A wizard can name whatever the hell he wants.
Can name it whatever he wants.
But nonetheless, he learned boosting your defense. Let me tell you, we like worked on that for like weeks. Because he wanted something ridiculous. And I'm like... that's a level 8 spell, and then I was like, okay, so this is... then it was too weak, and I'm like, it's at least level 6. So, and then I gave him a bone, because he's an abjuration wizard, that he can place a beacon, kind of like I used the circle of the summoning whatever druid, I can't remember the full name right now, shepherd, circle of the shepherd druid, how you can... it could put a, like, a horse or whatever somewhere, and there's like in a 30-foot radius, it heals everyone within there.
Like a zone. Yeah.
Like a zone.
Like a totem? Like a totem zone?
Yeah, like a totem zone. So I made it like, I wanted you to have him have like a totem zone, and he can put it on anyone. So like, King could be a totem zone, and you're just like...
super cool, and I'm gonna totally be like, let's try and take this a notch further. So I'm gonna give you a tip that King's gonna try and use his mist dancing to combo with this miasma.
That's fine.
To take it to the next level. So start thinking about how that's gonna interact.
That's fine. So I will say that some time ago, because I don't want to give anything away. So some time ago, I missed an opportunity on something that I wanted to do, but I wasn't ready. And you guys had done it before I was ready. You did it twice, and I was like, I still wasn't ready yet. And then now I'm like, it'll be weird if it just happens. So I said, fine. I've expanded on what this thing is. So if you do it, there will be a list of like, we're going to do something, let's say crazy as what you're talking about. And then I'm like, and a whisper comes to you, and then it'll be some type of name and rules to go with it.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is... what you're saying, what you're not saying, is now you have a understanding of how we can combo.
Yes.
Combo!
I have a feeling on stretching your imagination with your misdancing and everything, all that, and I'll be caught. So you all can feel, but it'll be high checks. But what you want to do may not what happens, but it'll be within the realm of what you are trying to do.
Like, understood.
Like,
that's
we didn't
cool.
know King would be able to purify the water, like a purify food and drink, but you were trying to do something of the such. But I wanted to keep it in D&D as well, without like completely making something ridiculous. So, anyway.
So you're saying there's like a really cool... but you're saying, but you're not saying, that there's potentially a really cool mechanic where all of our vagaries can interconnect in interesting ways.
Maybe. I didn't say anything.
That's how we summon Captain Planet. That's how we summon Captain Duskhaven.
Yeah, so I'm... yeah. Oh, can you imagine if we... our powers combined?
Our powers combined. You summon...
we will literally just charge up a spirit bomb and, like, mm-hmm. kill Deja Vu once and for all.
Oh, my goodness.
Please. What happened?
My thing is, I've tried... I'm stretching... all I'm saying that... what I mean, like, not... I'm not saying that there is something exactly set. All I'm saying is that feel free to use your imaginations, but obviously there will be barriers, and I'll let you know what those barriers... so if you try to do something ridiculous and then like you get like half of it, then you know that's where the barrier is, but you'll see something could. So just Don't limit your imagination. As it's
I wonder what it was that I've done twice that didn't actually happen now. Now I'm curious. I don't totally recall exactly what I've done.
All right, enough of this. This was just, we'll super just meta zone.
We'll just have to start like comboing them and see what the right combination is.
Because we saw a combination. So the last combo that we truly saw that went off, if you want to go down that route, was back in the season finale of season one when Monaco and King comboed and made Crystal Ice Mirror Reflection.
Yeah.
So it was like and it shot back the steam, which is something there. If I was ready for something of such, though I was ready for it, I had an idea if you were to combine something like that and make a check, I wanted to have a cool name for it. I did not because I wasn't expecting something like that. So it's fine. Just like when you all unlocked your vagaries, you all got whispers and it was stuff like that. So, unfortunately, I was not. Now something like that, maybe something will happen where you'll get something of the such. I feel like I might as well just... That's literally me just saying it anyways. We're not meta. Now we're just spoiler. We're jumping meta to spoiler.
Just spoilers for everyone.
Spoilers for everyone. That's fine. Out of spite, I'll just not do it. No, I'm just kidding. DC's 32. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
You need an add 20 to get that. But in any case...
And guidance.
Oh, go ahead.
I just had an idea about bending other people's abilities, much like I can bend the bullets.
Well, we do know. We know.
Okay, wanted.
We know, and I'm pointing to Zeki as I do this, and we know, I'm pointing to you, Cap, to audience and listeners, what Cal has learned. The rest of them does not know still. So we're quite curious for that to be revealed.
Almost happened.
It almost did. Yes, it did.
But like the pacing.
Are you undead?
No. That is. I can neither confirm nor deny that to you. But it's actually like the sixth sense. Like I've actually been dead this whole time. No. sorry for the spoiler for anybody else that hasn't seen The Sixth Sense. The 1998, I believe, thriller.
It's okay. It's like Titanic. It sinks.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Right. But, it almost happened, but the pacing with the... What was it? It was like a skeleton lord?
Yes.
The skeleton lord just decided to, like, get out of sight just at the wrong moment. It almost would have happened. Travis, you would have got to see something very cool.
What would have happened?
You will see when it happens.
What would have happened? Just let him talk for a second. What would have happened?
But Omar, it would have been especially sick with what was...
Is it like a new railgun?
No. But it would have been... With what was going on with other members of the party and where they were positioned.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person...
me.
Is it like a... You move so fast that you can, like, zip around and get...
You're just trying to guess. This good. You don't know what it is. Nope. You don't know.
I don't know. No, I really don't. Or
do you?
No, I really don't.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to try the other thing yet either. Or the other thing.
They're gonna... I could just see the shock and someone's like, what are you doing? Trust me. I don't know. Oh my god.
It's gonna totally be like that too. It's gonna be like, do you trust me?
What do they mean?
You know what we mean, audience. You know.
What do they mean? What do they mean?
Oh, and Omar, I have like this special thing planned out for it too, of how I'm going to say it.
Oh my god, I'm so ready.
And RP it out too. Like I'm super. Like I spent like a good amount of my shower thought time, like thinking up how I'm going to do this. You know what I mean? Like when you're getting ready in the morning before work, I'm just like, oh, but. If I do this, and I do it this way, Travis, it's going to be beautiful.
I can't wait. You know I love it. I'm here for
It's gonna blow you away. That's for sure.
I'm here for those dramatic explanations.
I have your theme song waiting on Abaddon speed. But in any case, the next big thing that we did see was that Horatio has sat onto the throne and his mind went through all of what seems to be Duskhaven in general as he went through all of the ley lines interacting, making a ridiculously high save. The save, everyone, was a 21, and he rolled a 25 and a 23, and I was just like, God damn it. But his mind was intact, and he was able to control and attack and basically do anything he wants from the ley line itself, albeit afterwards taking some internal damage. So my next question will go towards Travis. As another arcane member, what's going through your mind and King's mind after seeing this happen to Horatio?
OMG, King's like, I bet you only certain people can actually sit on the throne and withstand it. And King Terminus is one of those, and not anyone can do it. And Horatio happens to be someone that can withstand sitting on the throne. And I bet you it's going to be a big deal. People are going to be like, he sat on the throne and controlled it? Like, I bet you, like, Judean or someone's going to be like, expected, of course, of the Archon. But other people are going to be like, OMG, only, like, you know, six people right now in the city can do it. You know what I mean? Or something, like, very limited or less than that. My other thought was, at the time, it didn't seem that important because how we've seen Symphony work is once it's activated, it's activated. It doesn't need to be, like, kept and maintained. Right. So for Judean to be like, you can't go, you need to keep the barrier up, sort of is throwing me. And I was thinking about it. Obviously, I needed to get our group out of there quickly, so that's why I used the word of recall to bamf us out of the noble district towards the actual onslaught. But I think that maybe I should have stayed because I could have, like, as a divine caster, I could have potentially kept up this barrier in his stead. Or that's what I would have liked. I, you know, think I could have potentially done.
All right. I would say, it's just too meta. It's too meta. Next. So, you went ahead and you definitely this power seat and left it there and continued on. Zeki, the same thing with Cal, seeing just sheer awesome power erupted from the throne and from Horatio.
He was all for it. Cal, as a character, kind of was wondering how powerful being an Archon actually meant, and understanding that Horatio was at like a nexus point for all of the ley lines was really cool to see that he could just kind of, it's almost like touching like a live wire, and like he like is not only not feeling any pain from it, or maybe a little bit, but is able to like transfer that energy into what he's doing with his magical spells, and like that is it's really cool to see a character kind of like that, especially like an arcane character, just like tap into raw
energy
and raw like exponential magical power. You know, it's like it's one of those things, I think, especially like in fantasy in general, it's kind of like everyone always wishes they can get to that well of untapped, unlimited magical power to like kind of like wield it. It's kind of like that Pandora's box kind of thing. And I think it was really cool that we got to actually see that finally with Horatio, who is supposed to be this super powerful magic user. Exactly. It's fitting.
Yeah. I was so excited. I actually... So here's a small little meta moment. If he had failed, there would have been, I want to say story altering, but definitely would have been a staple in the story effects that would have affected him. So albeit I wish he had failed, I'm glad he did, so we got to see what the abilities of the chair was. So I was very happy about that. But let's see if someone's sitting on it again.
I mean, only he has advantage on intelligence saves, so he's the only one that should sit on it.
I'm like, no one uses intelligence saves. I need to throw in an intelligence save eventually. That and charisma saves are the ones that are just like womp womp. You don't see them much. Yeah. Nevertheless, after defeating the foe and heading off, you went and teleported using your word of recall. Quick side note, how does it feel to use word of recall finally?
Oh, super good. I was waiting to actually use it for real, and it was really nice. And I felt like it was actually, like, useful, because we needed to very quickly start to make our way to the front lines, especially after we learned that we were being held there. Like, that was the plan to keep us. So to make up some time to quickly bamf us, I was like, okay, that's worth it. And it felt good to use it.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. I did not remember you had one there, though I knew you there was different ways you could have gotten yourselves out there. It was would have been more puzzling had you been stuck in there, but very good use of the word of recall. I thought you were going back to Shiver, and I was like, oh my god, what?
Oh my god, no. I feel like that would be too far. Like, that would be, like, everyone would be like, why did he do that?
I'm trolling y'all.
Yeah, they would be like, that's a troll. We're gonna, like, take that back. You know what I mean? Like, no, I wouldn't actually.
Like, I thought we were going to help the king first and then go back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was all about going, but not before, like, we saved the city.
Right. But you teleported back into the hallowed ground and met up with Sariel again. And she seemed to be more like, I need to get my people and the elves out of here. And she was originally going to just run by herself, but King so heroically stepped forward and said to find everyone, even if it means revealing the existence of elves, what they've been trying to hide for all of this time, and listening to the king to be crowned as their deity in mortal form. She went ahead and did so, and so, for all you know, she's running off into the mountains, saving people of the city as well. So thoughts after that?
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't like, you know, I was like, only if I was trying to convey, like, only if absolutely necessary. Don't be like, I'm actually secretly an elf, follow me. Like, you can still be secretive, like, only if you absolutely had to, was what I was trying to say. But, like, my point was, don't just worry about the elves. We need to be more than that. Like, that's the platform that Duran and I were taking, is, you know, we're better together. So, you know, yes, some of these people may have wronged them, and if they skip over, you know, a nasty noble or two, so be it. But, like, help that orphan human girl, you know what I mean? Like, you know, help that, you know, street rat boy, help that, you know, single mom or, you know, struggling family. Like, don't leave them behind. Help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my general, like, desire. And I was trying to show that that's King being a, like, good leader, like, or trying to be. Like, he needs to think of everyone, not just the specials, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Very benevolent.
Trying to be a benevolent ruler, and that I'm trying to show growth and leadership. You know what I mean? Or that was my intent in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Do you think it came across right?
I thought it did so. So as a DM during that scene, from that scene on, we'll skip ahead really quick before we get to the next part. It was definitely, I felt very heroic. You were like, go off there, we'll save the people. And I was like, you guys can go. I thought you guys were going to go with them because Horatio had brought up, let's take, well, all right, we're going to have to backpedal. I can't digest that without mentioning this next part. So during that, you all were trying to make your way into the heart of battle after warning, talking to Sariel. And when you all heard Horatio heard a whisper in his head and had a conversation as you were all sent to the void. In doing so, he revealed to all of you that Duramo has Galdrum as well as Galdrum and Ren, and threatened their lives if you did not bring the. He said that he revealed that this was all a distraction, so you guys can go up and for him to go up and steal the shard to deliver to him. He went ahead and revealed this all to you, also saying that Syl's what happened to him would be revealed to you as well. And then you all had the choice of, he said, to take the shard and run, or while you said all to stay and fight. It was different communications going about. So we'll start off with Cal this time. So Zeki, thoughts on this big reveal of Duran, and then also Duran, of course, letting Doramo know that we know who you are, we know everything, the jig is up, and then him just kind of demanding over brain chat broadcast. What were your thoughts on that?
So, that is a lot to digest. The first thing I will kind of speak to is that Syl is dead. Syl has to be dead. Though he talked about him as if it was like past tense. Like, what happened? Not what's happening. Not what I have him doing. It's what happened. Like, I have bad feelings about that, which is really unfortunate. For a couple reasons. One, he was a character. Two, he had his own shard back before I knew that shards were super important.
That indeed.
As a new player. Would have stolen it off of him or something. That's not very lawful. But
then now, with the choice, do you agree with the choice of staying and fighting, I guess, against Doramo? Or actually, I don't even know what your final choice is, as you're all just in a massive amount of, we need to just fix shit immediately and deal with it as we go.
I feel that I didn't think that Doramo was actually going to come and steal it himself. I took it as we are stealing it for him, and that we had to either choose to steal it for him now to save Ren, or maybe we'll steal it later or talk about it more later, but they might not be safe later kind of situation.
I didn't think that it was like a go fight him situation. I didn't take that was the fight you were implying. I thought that the fight was leave the people to defend this city and you know, fend for themselves, and take, you know, while they're doing that, we'll take the shard and leave. That was option one. Or option two, he's having us get it because he can't, or that's what we think, so that's why he's asking us to get it.
Yeah,
so
that's what I thought too.
If we leave it here and help defend the city, we can repel the undead and fortify this city. And then once the city is safe, then we'll go back to Fia and help Queen Camilla and deal with, you know, Hiei and all of that, you know, after we've made sure that this place is safe, and leave the shard here. And that's the option that Travis and King chose.
And that is also what Cal chose. And wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the battle that I am expecting is to fight these undead and understand sort of who the ringleader is of this here and what the purpose is. You know, is it just to sort of thin out the Unity Knights and the forces of Thelos so that way they don't have enough numbers to go aid Fia? And then in what case, what do we do? I don't know. Like, then we just have to sort of figure it out, and that's, you know, next session.
Yeah, because we also don't know what removing the shard will do, too.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like, that could be, you know, what Judean was alluding to with, like, keeping the barrier up. Like, maybe the shard is what helps focus this barrier, and if we do that, it'll be...
Maybe they're liars and they don't really have that much symphony and
yeah, maybe it's like a magnifying shard or, you know.
And they only have a little bit, so they have to use the shard to magnify to protect the city. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
I'm so excited. I feel answers may or may not be revealed. I'm going to say there's a 60% chance that answers will not be revealed next session, but there's a 40% chance. It depends on
60.
How... 60! I only say so because it depends on how fast the next couple of battles happen, because as you know, you guys continued on in the most heroic scene in my body. I literally switched the music over to the Liberator's theme song as like, you rode off on your horses. So I may have been a little bit overboard with the overly dramatic description as you rode into there, because it's just like I just saw a picture in my head of you just going through a city of like zombies and people just being attacked and like and throwing fireballs and defending them until you guys finally ran up into a group. You could have joined the main battle where possibly King Terminus was fighting, but you decided to go off and veer off and save the small amount of people who are being attacked as true heroes would do. And I was like, yes, they are heroes, they're going in there. Because side note, in the other campaign of mine, everyone's bad guys basically. They're that happened, they'll be like, but there's gold over there, and then there's a bunch of children being attacked. I'll be like, eh. And then they'll run. So actually seeing truly heroic deeds, very exciting. But and then you all kind of just ran up and ran into another very large battle full of tons of undead. So we're looking at you, Cal. Some divine smites are going to come in handy. But how much do you have left?
That is the key question there.
I want to wait until we're overwhelmed, and then I'm going to use my 7th level spell slot, and I'm going to show you what I took. See, or is it 8th level? Or is it 8th level? I don't remember.
I think you guys are on 7th. You haven't hit 8th yet.
7th, yeah.
So I saw that Skeleton Lord and thought it was going to be a very difficult challenge, so I started pulling all the stops very early on to curb the battle in our favor by kind of forcing the
early lead.
Yeah, get an early lead and force the Skeleton Lord's hand in terms of being more defensive rather than, and like use,
right?
Use
all
this
extra
stuff.
He's like, I'm hiding over here in the bush!
Yeah, right?
Very good, because it would have been a... I mean, you can only counterspell so much, and then he has the ability to cast 2 spells, and he had a lot of stuff, but then, like, every time, Finger of Death, counterspell, this blast, counterspell, and I'm just like, man.
I mean, like, you just, the way you describe it, I was like, okay, that feels like a really bad, evil spell, so I'm gonna cancel that one.
And that's a good quote, because you look at it, you're like, that looks nasty, nope.
Yeah.
So now I'm hoping it's more of like a horde situation where there's just minions and they have lower HPs and we can get them, like, one bullet gets this zombie, another bullet gets this zombie. Oh, this looks like I might want to smite this. Oh, let me pull out that lightning. I still have that rifle with the lightning bolt, so I can take out like a big group of them if they're all in like a row kind of thing. So that might be really cool once we clear this small section and potentially join in with King Terminus in the larger battle. But
I can't wait to describe to you how I have this really high level damaging spell that's specifically meant to handle like hordes and hordes of creatures.
Oh, well, when that happens, we may need to talk a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. Because I don't want to step on your toes, or do I?
No, he definitely. He's planning stuff.
Or do I, River?
He's planning something. I know what he's planning. None of that planning. I mean, y'all can meta plan. I can't stop.
No. You just need to make sure that there's enough hordes of monsters for all of us to have them.
No. It's not the moment.
No.
He's trying to.
And Travis, what I don't think you understand is, I can just pick a moment and, like, put it on like full distortion.
What can you do?
Like, whatever kind of moment I want. Like, it doesn't even have to be. It can be a RP moment that I can like change some things for. It can be a battle moment I can change some things for. It's like
he can amplify a moment to be what would be a big moment and turn it into just sheer epicness. And you know, audience, if you listen to last episode, what he can do. So this could possibly be something ridiculous, which I'm kind of afraid to see if you just wipe out like everything I planned, which is fine, only because I will say this will probably be a more battle, because we haven't had them in a very long time, very battle intensive session using your new level 13 abilities, so much so that it might push you over, because this has been about two to three sessions since of you guys getting to level 14. It's going to be that intense. This is a, like I said, this is the climax. This is the Battle of Winterfell, but good, and you can see everything. kind of epic battle is coming up.
Is this Helm's Deep?
They're sieging
like massive armies sieging the fortress kind of thing.
And there's going to be RP moments in between, and there's going to be choices that has to be made. I'm excited to see what the choices you make. I feel like I planned a heart-wrenching moment that I'm ready for. That will probably be...
I thought we were going to have a heart-wrenching moment. I thought that, honestly, I forgot to mention this before when we were talking about Cal being downed. I honestly thought that Skeleton Lord was going to be like, kew, 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 and like fucking stab your dead body, you know,
almost
or
did.
Stab your corpse on the fucking ground. And then it was like, I was like, oh no, I don't go for several more turns.
You know, like, Travis, it could have been that way, but as a paladin, you just gotta have some faith.
Mm-hmm. Gotta have faith. Yeah, no, and I think your answer was the whole thing. Right. Yeah, you know that we would try our hardest to get you back up, which is what we would exactly did.
I will say I was planning on it, but you survived because he's a smart skeleton. He's gonna be like, this person is gonna get healed by that person who's been healing people. Just, and I can attack like three times with this. This is like an instant down right now. But luckily we had Horatio was like, let me just roll some high saves and turn into an Archon of Power. God damn it.
Yeah, again, it was like one of those opportunities where I could have gotten rid of the poison with my lay on hands. But I chose to be more aggressive and try to get that extra damage in hoping it would be enough to put it over the edge.
To take it over.
Yeah, you were rolling high for disadvantage because the AC was 18. And like I was like, you just rolled a 9, which gave you plus what? And like you just had, your disadvantage was still high enough to get it. I'm like, God damn, they reached this level now. Or even at disadvantage, it's like you need to have AC 25 monsters now. Something ridiculous.
Oh, no.
Which is good. But then like, it was fine, because I already expected this whole siege thing to go. It was actually going to be shocking if you guys were like, we're going to run with the elves and go away. Like, with Horatio originally said, let's just run with it. I thought that was going to happen. I was like, well, I guess this city's going to get overrun then. Or the king will have to... Or plans will unfurl that Dharma has set in place. But in any case, so... We left the liberators riding into battle, battling. It seems to be a horde of undead protecting the people who are all within the midst. So... any last theories or expectations or thoughts on what's to come? We'll start off with Travis.
Yeah, I have something I was going to say before and I forgot because we switched onto a tangent, but one of my last thoughts I'll leave you all with is I think that King would think pragmatically and his thought would be the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Therefore, Galdrim and Ren are worthy sacrifices to make to prevent Duramal from getting the shard.
Okay. Powerful words. You heard it first here. Chat 8. Okay. And Zeki, same question. Thoughts in what's going to happen in the future?
I will echo those words and say that both Galdrim and Ren especially, is a fierce demon dancing. It seems like, you know, at least culturally, the demon dancers have this warrior code that they live by, and like kind of binds them to their demon dancer family kind of thing. And I think that they would want us to not help Duramo over, say, if it meant they had to be sacrificed to kind of prevent their entire world
everything,
from collapsing.
Life,
you know?
Everything, yeah. 100% agree. I think that they would rather die.
And, you know, on top of that, it's fucking Dungeons and Dragons, man. We can potentially resurrect them. We can come back here maybe someday if they do pass away in this game and resurrect them and be like, this is our collect the 7 Dragon Balls moment. We're just gonna like set things right in specific places, like, and we're like our tour of the world after we fix it kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I have regular resurrection, which is freshly killed within a year, or maybe it's 10 years, but I think it's still within the time frame, so even if they do die, you know, I would absolutely resurrect Ren. Period. No. I would resurrect Galdrim if Duran asked me to.
Awesome. My final note is, one, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was curious to know what you would think about their fates, but nice to know. Curious to see how the rest of the group reflects onto that. And one thing, since having you two join me for Chat 8, we've seen specifically with Cal and Monaco both being from Shivern, we've seen also Cal and Horatio and connect as well. So, but I feel like with Cal and King both being like lawful, good characters in a sense, I'm curious to see how their thoughts will go furthermore, as now I think as the story goes on, we'll definitely see that they have to consult each other in the future. So this was a nice little taste and getting to the mindset of the Cal King or King Cal. I can't figure out how to combine your names together, but Cal with a
last
RK.
Thought on that.
Just full names. Calamity King.
Yeah, you go. Yeah. I like that. Holy crap. Calamity King.
King Calamity.
Mm-hmm. King Calamity. Yeah.
We are King Calamity. I think we started seeing the inklings of that at towards the end of this with the whole drama. Eggshell dropping, bomb exploding of Monaco. And I think King was very lawful good in his own way of forgiving Monaco for the things that she's done, while Cal was also lawful good in understanding that he also didn't get the whole truth. So judgment needs to kind of be held until the facts are all on the table, kind of thing, and like no trust and no forgiveness shall be given until those terms are met, kind of thing. So it's like both sides of the lawful good coin, like some of the very forgiving, empathetic. That's what I mean. Like not pathetic, not empathetic.
That's
to have empathy. Yeah, empathetic. Sides of being lawful good, and then you have the more that things are black and white lawful good when in a world of gray kind of thing. So
I feel like
it's gonna be really good going forward.
Yeah, I feel like for that moment I kind of also leaned into the like she's my friend and I want to forgive her and I want her to be a good person because, you know, I didn't get the full truth, so she must have a good reason. Like, I'm trying to, like, put my faith in her. And I also know that that's going to lead for a wonderful, like, dramatic fucking letdown that I can explore in character when I find out the full truth. And then Cal can be like, I fucking knew it. And King will be like, you broke my heart again. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm not ready. You know, I'm not ready.
I feel like, you know, that's, you know. I don't like plan and think ahead like that fully, but in that aspect, I did think that I was like, let me lean into it in this way a little bit just to sort of smooth it along right now because I know it's going to sort of build up a little. I'm like edging, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't edge too much. But...
And, I think like on a meta level, Zeki, the player, is also saying, I fucking told you so. To Travis, the player, whatever he brought to his attention, hey, she's trying to get you in the same room with an archdemon who wants your, an archdevil who wants your body, by the way.
Yeah.
And you're like saying, let's go do this. I trust you.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't wait to explore all that.
Yes, she loves this archdevil too.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like that could be a really good moment where once we have a actual downtime, you can be like, are you really gonna go through with this? And we can have like a moment.
I just feel like you guys, all right, it's one thing to feel against Monaco, who like people were kind of suspicious for from the beginning, or at least the start of the season, with the whole vision saying that don't trust one of them and so on and so forth. But then to have Horatio, who King 100% trusts, is like, that's the, like, we are the ones who are kind of the quote unquote leaders who kind of purports like step forward and like and all that, and then like to look at him and be like, how dare you keep this secret from me? Because he's gonna defend Monaco. I feel like he's gonna defend Monaco.
Yeah,
he's in love with
her. And I'm worried about that too, because he might be getting like double played. You know, she's forced him into all these situations and he's bending over backwards.
I have faith in
because
Monaco.
He has a love interest with her.
Oh my god, I want to know, like, does Alex really like want to be good, or is she really double triple crossing all of us?
You'll have to find
out. We'll find out. Yeah,
we'll find out next time on Descent into the Void. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thanks so much for my wonderful cast for joining me today. Excited for what comes next, and you know, as always, from the first chapter to the last page, we love you guys. Be kind to one another. And we'll see you next time. Bye now.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.